If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans 6, verse 13. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments unto unrighteousness, unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Surrendering is an unpopular word today. It's disliked by so much of the people, and it's kind of like the word submission. Folks hate that word. I remember years ago I used to use in the marriage vows, love, honor, and obey. I've been threatened within an inch of my life if I use that. But surrender implies losing, and no one wants to be a loser. It also implies or evokes the unpleasant image of admitting defeat in battle, or forfeiting a ball game, or yielding to a stronger opponent. Now, in today's competitive world, we are taught to never give up. Don't give in. Hang in there. If winning is everything, then surrender is just totally unthinkable. But on the other hand, surrendering to God is the very heart of worship. The very heart of worship. It is the natural response of mankind to God. And the Lord wants us to be able to serve Him, not out of guilt or fear, but in love, because the Bible said He first loved us. True worship brings God pleasure. And I don't know about you, but I want God to be pleased with me like He was Job. He said, have you considered? Have you noticed my servant Job? He was a man that was faithful to the Lord, and God was proud of him. I want each of us to bring happiness and want God to be happy with our lives. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And the Bible said we're not to be transformed, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The act of personal surrender is called many things. Making Jesus Lord of our life is termed surrendering to Him. Or taking up your cross and following me. Or dying out to self and being resurrected to the newness of life, and old things have passed away, all things are become new. Dying out to self. But you see, the main thing is not what we call it, but that you do it. That you do it. That you just be willing to surrender your all to God. You know, when a man and a woman get married, they surrender some things, and they have to, or it won't work. And the same thing is true for you and I that are children of God. When we come in and give our life to Him, we surrender ourselves to Him, knowing that He is the commander in chief, and He knows what's best. And if we'll walk in His path and follow His directions, we'll be happy and we'll be fulfilled. What are some barriers to surrender? Number one, can I trust God? Can I trust Him? Trust is an essential ingredient to surrendering. You will never surrender to God until you trust Him. You know, you can again look at marriage. If you don't trust your mate, your marriage is a terrible existence. But when you trust them and know that they're going to be faithful to you and you'll be faithful to them, and you love God and you're going to be faithful to Him, you can have a great life. I remind you this morning that God loves us more than what we can ever imagine. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, this word commendeth means proved. God proved His love toward us. And you know that the amazing thing about that verse is that if you were the only person on the earth that Jesus loved you enough that He would have come and died just for you as an individual. That's how important you are to God. I'm reminded of His death. Jesus was falsely accused, falsely condemned, and falsely executed. Brother, when they took Him and they accused Him and tried Him and found Him guilty by their laws, He was given over to the Roman centurions. And they began to beat Him with the cat of nine tails. And on those nine tails of leather thongs, there was glass or metal barbs to where that every time it was laid on the back of Jesus. And when they would pull it back, it would pull out chunks of flesh. 39 times they beat Him on the back to where that Josephus, the historian, said He did not look like a human being. They smote Him with their hands and with reeds. They spat upon Him. They did everything they could to try and discredit Him. He went to the cross of Calvary. They nailed Him to that tree. And He died. He didn't swoon. He literally died on the cross. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And He dropped His head and He gave up the ghost. He took the sins of the world in His body on the tree. He made atonement for all of our sins that day. And I'm going to tell you this morning that if you want to know Him and know how much you matter to God, then all you have to do is look at the cross of Calvary. You see His arms outstretched. And that's how much He loves you. He was willing to die in your stead. God is not a tyrant. He loves us. And surrendering to Him will bring freedom and not hardship. Well, admitting our limitations. A second barrier to total surrender is our pride. You know, we just hate to admit that we're just human. That we don't have it all together. That we don't know really what's always best for us. And we kind of, like what happened in the Garden of Eden, when the Bible tells us that the serpent came to Eve, the old devil, and he whispers in her ear, I know that God said you're not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but God is jealous. He knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, that desire to have complete control is a cause of stress and heartache and problem in our lives. A.W. Tozer made this statement. He said, the reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still asking or making little progress is because they haven't come to the end of themselves. They're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. Do we give orders to God? You say, well, preacher, I would never do that. Well, we do it all the time when we disobey what God says for us to do. We're saying, God, my way is better than your way. And we reach the point that we don't even feel guilty about it. I'm here to tell you today that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Churches are withering and they're giving in to modernism. And they're almost telling you that everything's all right. Do what you want. But that's not true. This Bible still says what God expects of us. And you don't follow what man says. You don't even just follow what I say. But you look into the Word of God and you let God speak to your heart. Let Him speak to your heart. Surrendering people obey God's Word, even if it doesn't make sense. You remember when Peter, they had fished all night long. They hadn't caught anything. Now, I'm not much of a fisherman, but I know that there are some days they don't bite. You might as well quit and go home. All you're doing is sitting there. But you know, the Lord came up and He said, Peter, have you caught any fish? He said, Lord, no, we've toiled all night long. We've toiled all night long and we haven't caught anything. Lord, we're tired. And the Lord said, well, go back one more time. Cast your net out on the right side. And He said this, Lord, we fished hard all night long, hadn't caught a thing, but at your word, we'll go out and cast the nets out one more time. And you know what happened? They caught so many fish, they couldn't hardly get them all to shore. But you know, that's the way God is. He will bless you if you will obey Him. And He will give you more than you could ever imagine. Well, Abraham followed God's leading without knowing where he was going. You remember that? The Ur of Chaldees. God said, Abraham, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. He didn't question. He just said, yes, Lord, I'll go. And then Hannah, she wanted a son, and she prayed, and she did not know when, but she knew God was going to bless her and gave her a son. That was to become a prophet and a judge of Israel, Samuel. And then there was Mary, who expected a miracle from God without knowing how God was going to do it. She said, Lord, how can this happen without me knowing a man? But you know, God works miracles, doesn't He? She trusted Him, and God did what He promised. I'm reminded of Joseph, that he trusted God's purpose without knowing the circumstances. How can you believe that it's in the will of God for you to be sold into slavery by your brothers? How can you believe that it is for the glory of God that you're lied upon and you're cast into prison for the glory of God? But you know, God didn't forget Joseph. And there was that prophecy that nobody could interpret. But God's man could, and God had him there at the right time, the right place. He raised him up, and He told Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And He elevated him up to second in command in all of Egypt, and provided for the Israelites. until they became big enough as a nation that they could go to the land that God had promised. Is God not amazing? Is God not amazing this morning, what he does? You know, all you've got to learn to do is just be obedient to him. Be obedient. Be faithful. Do what he says. Do what he says. Well, the supreme example of surrender is Jesus. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, he was saying, Lord, if there is any other way that salvation can be brought for mankind except that I die, let it be done. But Lord, thy will be done. Whatever you want done, if it'll bring you honor and glory, I'm willing to die upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of all the world. And while he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said that he sweat great drops of blood. What it was the intenseness, the battle that was raging on the inside was so intense that it forced the blood out of the capillaries into the sweat glands. And it looked like it was just blood coming from the body of Jesus. Surrender sometimes is hard work, folks. Sometimes it's hard work. But the blessings of surrender. The Bible says that we're to stop quarreling with God. You say, preacher, I don't quarrel. Yeah, you do. I can tell you, you do. Every time that God says to do this and do that and do that and you don't do it, you're quarreling with God. In other words, you're saying, God, I know better than you. I can run my own affairs, my own life. I'm telling you, you're going to stand before God one day. You're going to look him in the eye and he is going to pass sentence upon all of our lives. But if you start agreeing with him and do what he says do, then you'll have peace. You'll have peace. And then you'll have freedom. Offer yourself to the ways of God, and this freedom never quits. I like that. You remember Joshua? In Jericho, Moses had just died. The reins of leadership had now been given over into Joshua's hands, and he faced the first big obstacle, which was Jericho. And he was going to have to defeat Jericho. Well, they had strong walled, fortified. It was a strong, fortified city. The walls were thick and the walls were high. And I'm telling you, Joshua was a military man, and he had a plan. But he was willing, after he talked with God, he was willing to put his plan aside and do what God said, even if it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Can you imagine God told him, now walk around the city one day. Everybody walk around the city of Jericho one day and don't say a word. And then the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, and on the seventh day, you walk around the city, and when you get around it, at the command, you'll blow the trumpets, and everybody will shout, and the walls will come tumbling down. Now, that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Sounds like, preacher, that's not real. But yes, it is. Yeah, it's real. It happened just that way. And I know folks want to complain and say, well, Jonah and the whale, that's just a myth. No, it happened. And one of these days, you'll be able to go and look Jonah in the eye, and he'll tell you, yeah, it happened. I had that seaweed around me. I know that whale story is real because I was there. Surrendered people are the ones that God uses. And this year, we're going to have as our slogan, save people, serve people. Save people, serve people. Amen. I'm telling you, that's what God called us to do, isn't it? We're just servants. He was a servant, and he came in and modeled for us how that we are to serve. Just be obedient to him, but save people, serve people. Well, the best way to live. Eventually, everybody surrenders to something or to someone. If not to God, then you'll surrender to the expectations of others. You'll surrender to money or lust or ego, but something will be your God. I'm telling you, everybody has a God. It's not always the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever you give first place to in your life, does that not become your God? Giving first place ought to be reserved for God in heaven. We're just passing through down here, and I'm telling you, I see a lot of gray hair. Maybe no hair. But it tells me that we're getting to the point and to the place that we don't have long upon this earth. Surrender to God is not the best way. It's the only way. It's the only way. I'm reminded of the moment of surrender for the Apostle Paul. He was going on the Damascus Road to Damascus to persecute, put in prison, and execute those that believed in Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that while he was on that Damascus road, a light sprang in and knocked him down. And the question is, what does it take to get our attention? When Paul got knocked down, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I've shared this story before, but I think it's apropos today. There was a young man that had been in the war, and he had the legs blown off at the trunk of his body. And he had what appeared to be roller skates, and he was in church that night. And he was standing on the back wall because the house was full. And the preacher got up and he preached a powerful sermon, gave the invitation. Folks began to move and come forward to the altar for salvation. That young man had tears that were rolling from his eyes down his cheeks. And finally, he started pushing himself out into the aisle with those roller skates attached to the trunk of his body. And he came all the way down to the front, and he looked up to the preacher that was standing there at the pulpit. He said, Preacher, preacher. Preacher, can God use half a man? He caught the preacher by surprise. He stepped back a moment, and then he stepped up and he looked over that pulpit and he looked into those searching eyes. He said, Yes. Yes. Yes, God can use half a man if he's totally surrendered, but he cannot use a whole man if he's half surrendered. God wants all of you that there is to have. And if 2020 is to be the success that God wants us to have as a church, it's going to take all of us putting our shoulders to the wheel, all of us working together, praying together, locking arms together, going out into the highways and byways and gathering up the lost and bring them into the house of God, leaving the 99 that are safe in the fold and going out on the hillside of sin and helping them to come to find and to know Jesus Christ. That's our job. We're just servants. We're saved in order to serve. God help us that we'll do it. Will you bow with me?